That story begins with a note of fear. It's a note we know well, is it not? There are many things to be afraid of in this world. Many things out there. And many things in here. We can closet ourselves in fear. We can draw in upon ourselves and keep from any fresh wind that is blowing. Fear can lead us into many things, some of which can be very destructive. In a few weeks, we will hear some stories from Africa about what fear has done in places like Rwanda, where one tribe fears another tribe, so much so that at one point in their story, one tribe was moved to annihilate another. We'll also hear the stories that come from Nigeria, currently facing into the fear of different religions in conflict with one another, and realizing that it's more than just the clash of religions that is bringing about this fear that leads to violence. But we'll be hearing about that. But our intent with this workshop that is coming up is not to focus upon over there, but to learn from over there about here and the things that we fear here. So we don't need to go over there. We don't necessarily have to go to the Holocaust Museum. And by the way, did you know that tomorrow is Holocaust Remembrance Day? When fear, we remember how fear led to the attempt to annihilate another race of people, another religion of people. But we don't have to go over there to realize that there are things to fear in here. And, you know, sometimes I get to the point near of despair when it comes to some of the divisions that are in our own communities. So we come to be afraid of one another and distrust one another. And for instance, use words like liberal and conservative as if they are dirty words. And speak divisive things that get us not to listen and pay attention to the fact that for instance, conservative leads us in the direction of holding on to things that are important and conserving that from the past, which is helpful. And liberal is a word that helps us move in the direction of letting go of things that are not helpful. And moving into the future. Liberal can look back and conservative can look forward, and we need each other. We don't need to annihilate the opposite point of view. But it is not just conservatives and liberals. On every particular issue in this day and age, we have people who are talking past each other because they are afraid. I think that lies at the heart of it all. We are afraid. Easter and this season, and the message, the good news that we have, is a word that casts away that fear, that enters into the closed, closeted rooms that we place ourselves and opens us up to the new possibilities that God has in store for us. Brothers and sisters, our faith story is one that leads us to open wide the doors that we close. Open them wide, not just to other people, but to what God is doing out among people. And I want to say that Christ is risen not just in here. Christ is risen out there. Can you affirm that Christ is risen in your neighborhood? Can you affirm that Christ is risen in your places of work? Whether or not anybody speaks a name, and you don't have to speak the name to recognize that God is rolling away stones, all you have to do is be open to the fact. This very month, I want to be lifting up in several different ways, and you will hear me say this hopefully in all the sermons that I preach this month and in perhaps the month to come, that I believe that God has answered some prayers that we have been praying. You know, it was about a year ago that our witness commission gathered, and we were wondering, what on earth is God doing? What does God want us to be doing? And that wasn't just a word for us in general. I believe that that was a word for us in particular. I know that it was a question for me, you know, myself. God, what on earth are you doing? Not just here, but in my life. And so, do you remember those monthly prayer meetings that some of us attended? We gathered on a Wednesday evening and we stumbled our way through it. How many of you participated in those? It wasn't always easy because we spent a lot of time in silence. And silence can be kind of uncomfortable. And we stumbled our way through just basically with the question, God, what do you want us to do? And some months we had a number of people, and sometimes there were fewer. And by Christmas time, it had all but kind of evaporated. But I believe that God answered that question. Now, as with most of God's answers to questions, it's not that you can lift it up and say, God said this, 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 and nail it down and put it on a door and say, here is what the Lord is speaking to us. But I believe that there is a fresh wind blowing in this fellowship. Do you? That God is opening us up. Now, some folks say that the brethren are somewhat of a timid people. We're a bit introverted. And it's a challenge to open our doors to new people. But those of you who have been part of, for instance, these breakfasts, have you been blessed with meeting some people that you have never met before? And that there's kind of an excitement. I mean, as an introvert personally, I can tell you that it is the nature of an introvert to be sort of like this in relation to life. But it is wonderful when you open up and discover what God is doing in other people's lives. That God is at work. And I tell you, when I start to see that, I want to be there where Jesus is. You? Now, granted, in relation to us and relation to others, there are a lot of Thomases out there, and not just out there, but in here as well. Thomases who, you know, unless I see it, I can't quite believe it. Unless I can touch it, I'm struggling to understand and grasp what all this resurrection stuff is about. I mean, we can sing, you know, that Christ is alive. We can shout it from the rooftops. But what does it mean? Got to see it and touch it. And that's each of our stories as well. And I hope in how I read that gospel story that you heard the blessing of Christ speaking to you. Because in that story, as it is revealed in John's gospel, it is like Jesus at a certain point after he speaks to Thomas, he appeared to Thomas and said, "Okay, Thomas, you had to see, you had to touch. Well, here I am, see and touch. You know, blessed are you who come to faith having seen and touched." But it's as if Jesus at that point shifts his focus away from Thomas and turns to all the rest of us who are maybe a little bit embarrassed to admit that we are like Thomas, and to say to us, "Blessed are you who have not, like Thomas, actually seen and touched, and yet still you come to faith." You know, faith is not about necessarily seeing and touching, and yet faith leads us into places where, with that faith sense, we are enabled to see glimpses of glory and touch lives of other people and know deep down, whether it's claimed or not, that God is rolling away stones and guiding people out of empty tombs. And that includes me and you. We gather every week to remind ourselves of this because we all tend to get forgetful. I know I get forgetful. There are times when I lose track of where I am in my life's journey and I wander. But God never loses track of me. God never loses track of you. And God is always coming into our rooms, which we close out of fear, and saying to us, "Peace be with you," and blowing the wind of his Spirit into our lives. Amen.